America, and this is Uncle Sam with Music and the Truth Until Dawn. Right now, I got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network, a radio station focused on growing indomitable all-American 21st century liberty. This live episode of the Patriot Power Hour is brought to you by Ready-Made Resources. Plan, prepare, preserve with ReadyMadeResources.com. Now, let's welcome our hosts. Ben, the breaker of banksters, Cochran, and Future Dan, the editor-in-chief of the most original news radar on the planet, FutureDanger.com.
We are back. We are live. Patriot Power Hour, October 17th, 2019. Your host here, Ben, the breaker of banksters, episode 71. Co-host Future Dan of FutureDanger.com. How you doing, sir?
Yeah, doing great. Looking forward to this episode, Ben.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is our first live recording. I know that's kind of an oxymoron, but we have a new technology here. We're going to be not only having our live show, we're going to have it archived as MP3 as well as video.
Video capture of the whole show.
We'll be sharing all types of websites, articles. Right now you can see FutureDanger.com. Which we'll be on very often. As you can see, just looking real quick, might as well take advantage of this right now. Tons and tons of articles, information over a whole swath of indicators going through today. So it's not gonna be a boring episode, I'll tell you that.
But we're gonna keep it primarily a radio episode. So if you're not looking at a screen as you listen, it's also for that audience first and foremost.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so definitely check out the video if you've been a long time audio listener.
It'll be on Future Danger's channel.
Yep.
And you can hit the link right off of the column 4 on the YouTube icon.
Oh, nice. Perfect. Yep. So I personally consume most of my media via MP3 during my long commute or even at work or exercising, doing chores.
But now you can watch Patreon.
But now, if you really want to see what we're going through, and I swear, we're actually going to go, we're going to have a certain, the third segment today. We're going to take advantage and really leverage this ability to share what we see, to cover some new features on FutureDanger.com. So look forward to that. We are really radio at heart still.
This is the episode where the live charts in the economic column 3, debuting this week on Future Danger, are going to be fully explained, in-depth details. It's going in the archive. Any questions about it, we're going to refer you back to segment 3 and 4 of this episode.
Any questions? We'll try to give you some answers. But hey, reach out to us if we don't answer some questions or you got some suggestions, et cetera, et cetera. We're
absolutely
always open ears. So without further ado, what is kind of striking you as some of the biggest stuff this week? It's all over the map. What have you been focusing on?
Pretty much a crisis in Syria. Between last episode and this episode, the president announced the withdrawal of U.S. special forces in northeastern Syria, and that came on the heels of Turkey announcing it was invading. And Turkey has invaded, and the Kurd factions that we've been basically building up their internal defense and have seized ground against ISIS are now being, U.S. troops are withdrawing. So we got a lot of headlines indicating a potential flashpoint between Turkey and the United States. And we're going to get into that deeply in segment 2, but okay. It is Nothing has come of it, and the vice president went there today, and they came out with a 120-hour ceasefire. Then U.S. troops have to get out of the way because pretty much the Turks are coming after the Kurds. Has a lot of implications. It hits under the indicator NATO dissolves. Obviously, it's green because it's a long, long way from dissolving that alliance. But Turkey, of course, could be a crack in that alliance, the first ever.
Yeah, that, if you think about it, that's probably the weak point, or damn near the weak point of NATO for sure. So it's been brewing for a long time. And like you said, we'll talk about it a lot more in the second segment. But it's really, there's a lot of facets to it, obviously. I mean, it's the Middle East for one thing. So definitely cover that. Myself, of course, I've been focusing on monetary point of view. We're seeing what they don't want you to call quantitative easing for, but essentially is quantitative easing for going on and plan to be ramped into the future. Plan to be increased. So I've been doing a lot of research on this, and we've touched on this last few episodes. I think what I've come to the conclusion is there is some sort of panic by the primary dealers. And if you recall, I think maybe not last episode, but the episode before, we talked about the 24 primary dealers, you know, the Citibank, Citigroup, I suppose.
It was episode 69 and a half.
There you go.
It was an abbreviated podcast only because Blog Talk let us down that week.
Yeah.
We did cover the 24 primary dealers, and the repo operations that were happening at the time are continuing.
And increasing, actually. So the question is, there's 24 of them. A lot of them are domestic, but a lot of them, Deutsche Bank, Credit Suisse, and several others are Canadian or European.
There's several from every continent.
And there's actually a few from Japan as well. There's none in China yet. That'll be interesting if and when that they become, you know, Chinese bank becomes that. But long story short, one or more of these major banks is having major liquidity crisis. I think I saw an analogy that I thought was perfectly, and I'm going to butcher it, but essentially let's say you have $1,000 in cash in your pocket, but you owe the bookie down the street $1,500, you know, are you rich? No, because you might have that on you, but you actually owe way more than you actually have. Well, now think of it in the trillions. Yeah. JP Morgan and Citigroup and all these others might have billions and billions, even worth $1 trillion in assets, different if you combine it. But guess what? The derivative exposure, let alone all the other shenanigans on their balance sheet and liabilities, guess what? That could come home to roost, and they're going to be leveraged out, you know, 50 to 1, 100 to 1 in terms of their liabilities if some of these things go wrong. So some people are thinking it's already going bad, and we're looking at a Lehman Brothers essentially already taking place, and they're bailing them out right now.
Who's saying that? Repos.
That's just some observations from different folks, different articles I've read, some comments, some forums. And my opinion is that's possible, very possible. I'm not saying it's absolutely true, but there is, at the minimum, financial stress that has caused that, where people need to come up with this money. And it's kind of what's the old saying, robbing Paul to pay Peter type of thing, except it's borrowing, which might as well be robbing in this case. Where some, you know, with their left hand, they're borrowing, with the right hand, they're paying back the loan from last night. That's literally what the overnight repo is.
And the music's going to stop, or could.
The Fed's trying to keep that thing going. I mean, it's been a zombie banking system for 10 plus years. So
now,
I might be able to go longer.
Of the indicators on future danger, we got extreme after hour repos reported. And as we talked about two episodes ago, that hadn't had any news since future danger started in October of. Or November of 2015. So, but we created that indicator. What's the difference between what's happening now and straight up extreme after hour repos, which did happen during Lehman's collapse? That's when huge sums were being transacted overnight.
Yep.
That's not happening right now, is it?
Well, it's still like $60 to $100 billion every night. Now that's paid back the next day.
That's an overnight repo.
You can't add it over and over. It's not like every day $100 billion is being added. That would be like beyond emergency.
Yeah.
But this is, you know, but on the margin, this is still massive amounts of kind of oscillation that's artificial. And if this wasn't taking place, if the Fed wasn't bailing them out.
So if it weren't for like communal pooling of financial resources, some of these private firms could get bankrupted.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a day or two.
Absolutely. And
so if you're 20, if you're 24 primary dealers, you basically found a way to have a business that has
right.
no risk of ever going out of business.
And
it's good to be a bankster.
And exactly, absolutely. You know, what do they say? They socialize risk and privatize the reward, right? That's pretty much what they're doing.
Is that Occupy Wall Street's slogan?
No, I don't know. I've heard it from many different areas, but it's, that's
every once
true.
In a while, when you get near the banking sector, opinions can cross diagonally right across other political lines.
That's true.
Gotta watch out for that. The Sanders crowd will have things to say if this stuff goes out of control too.
Well, yeah, but then that's the problem reaction solution aspect of it, and I'm certainly not looking to, you know, hope when this happens to have a reactionary. I don't know. On the other hand, maybe I do want things to collapse so that we can build it correctly. But I don't know. Well, we're going off the rails here, I suppose. I just want to make one last point on this is not only is there that bankrupt issue, you know, bankruptcy issue or insolvency issue going on, interest rates, this is another, at a very minimum, this is absolute proof that interest rates are too low. Because what's happening is interest rates are too low for the counterparty to take the risk of lending overnight. So what we saw a month or so ago was interest rates spiked from 2% to 10%. Only by paying them 10% interest equivalent would they take that risk of loaning you overnight. And that spike is, you know, that could freeze the credit markets right there. And so, you know, what's exactly going on? Is there a Lehman Brothers out there that's being papered over? You know, that's potential. But there's absolutely proof, guaranteed proof, that interest rates are lower than the market requires. And now there's kind of like a pushback. It's kind of like you push a beach ball underwater
mm-hmm.
and you let go and it pops up. So if you artificially repress it, then it'll bounce even higher, even quicker than it normally would, if that makes sense.
It sure does. I can see it right now.
Yeah. Bastards. Bankster bastards.
and again, this stuff got all get papered over. We didn't really understand how it resolved itself.
Wow. Well, this time, I never know, first off. And second, it may take historians, you know, decades to piece it together. I don't know. You know, we'll just try to figure out what we can from our mother's basements, right?
Yeah.
Just kidding. So that's what I've been, you know, I've always been following. But definitely serious stuff's crazy. We got a lot of other stuff to get in line. I mean, we are coming up on the break, but we're going right back with, guess what, your heat map news blitz. We'll be going through, and if you're listening live, of course, go to futuredanger.com. You'll be able to follow along. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll also be able to follow along, even though it's via archive. We're not live streaming video yet, but that might be down the road eventually. But for those of you in audio, we will continue to not forget you. Radio is a lost art form, but we'll make sure it goes strong here at Patriot Power Hour. We'll be back. Episode 71 is live October 17th, 2019. Stick with us. Be right back.
I watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the Tannhauser Gate. All those moments will be lost in time, like tears. Die.
Patriot Power Hour, the flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network.
We are back, Patriot Power Hour. We are looking at the heat map dashboard for October 17th, 2019, column 1. Pew Research polls show religiosity in the U.S. is sharply in decline. In the censorship front, PBS fails to specify, quote, illegal immigrant families were separated again on the air. That's it for column 1. Column 2. I'll read you the news out of the Middle East that affects NATO directly. In order, from last week, U.S. troops in Syria fired at from Turkish positions. U.S. troops can fire back if Turkey attacks positions again, Pentagon says. That was late last week. Pro-Turk fighters massacre Kurds in Syria. The number I saw was 9. These are in the towns the U.S. has to move out of. The forces are withdrawing and in comes proxies that are doing essentially massacres. Several dozen American soft operators standing between Turk and Kurd forces at this point. President puts economic sanctions on Turkey, NATO ally, for invasion of northern Syria. NATO Secretary General goes to Turkey, says he voiced serious concern to Turk President. The U.S. prepping plans to evacuate roughly 50 tactical nukes from an air base in southeastern Turkey, Incirlik. Today, Vice President heads delegation to Turkey for ceasefire talks. Comes back, announces 5 days Syria ceasefire. We got a link in this indicator showing Turkish military operations in Syria, all the latest updates. I believe that's Reuters. And today, late today, U.S. lifts previously mentioned sanctions on Turkey. This is a fluid operation, and the truth of the matter of where U.S. operators are or are not is not completely understood. We're going to get more into that later in this segment. In Russia, Russian president directs exercise of nuclear forces. Sea launch ballistic missiles from Barents Sea and the Sea of Okhotsk. Land-based Yars ICBMs from Plotsk. In China, Hong Kong, Chinese president visiting Nepal threatens any attempt to divide will end in crushed bodies and shattered bones. Those are his words. Hong Kong protester leader viciously attacked by unknown assailants just yesterday. Column 4. California finds widespread water contamination of forever chemicals. 86 water systems serving 9 million Californians affected. Typhoon death toll climbs to 74 in Japan, thousands stranded in cold without power. Simultaneous to that typhoon, thousands of bags of radioactive Fukushima waste are swept away. InfoWars coming out with a report published in, just picking up on a report published in a scientific journal. Secret human experiments in Latin America fueling advancements in brain chip technology. The title of the paper, The Secret of Neuroscience Boom. Read it for yourself. Thousands of homes threatened by wildfires in California, Southern California, dozens lost. Landslide, Ethiopia, 23 dead. In column 3, circling back to economics, where we like to end the heat map dashboard blitzkrieg each week in segment 2 of Patriot Power Hour. We got over 500,000 without power from a nor'easter bashing New England. New York Fed injects $104 billion in short-term liquidity. We talked about that in segment 1. good article up about being aware of fake financials, how accounting at the corporate level has grown suspect. Economists are puzzled by a surge in U.S. money supply. That comes under money stock shoots up. I want to get into that one, Ben, right after this. And finally, federal debt up $1.2 trillion in fiscal year 19, which just ended. There you go. There's your heat map dashboard readout. And for the first time, it's going to be on video. Check the YouTube channel. What do you think, Ben?
Well, first off, your first column, the Liberty columns, about as quiet as it's been in quite some time, but there's been so much damage done. I'm not saying that. We have nothing to worry about, obviously. So that's kind of one takeaway. Something we don't talk too much about. We do, of course, we cover nature and health and, you know, the eugenic plan to destroy life as we know it. But all of those, quote unquote, forever chemicals in the water, you got to filter your water, people. Don't be drinking the tap water straight unless it's like an emergency. It's bad enough to shower in tap water, let alone drink and cook with it. So please, folks, get a quality water filter. I'm not talking about a $20 one from Target. I don't even sell these products, okay? You can go find
I got a Life Straw. Does that count?
Life Straw is good for prepping purposes, yeah. It'll help you drink out of a pond.
Not good enough for the home.
Crapping your pants.
Yeah.
You can't really use it to, you know, put together 5 gallons of water for spaghetti or something. You know what I mean? So, if we don't take care of our bodies and our minds, we have no hope of fighting against the various nefarious.
These are chemicals that are like in firefighter foam, like from highways and stuff. You know, like it's just in the. In things that they've used for decades that they thought didn't have an effect. But now they're looking at it and they're like, yeah, totally did.
Right. Exactly. And listen, I'm not a chemist, so I'm not even going to comment too much more on this. But it's not just Flint, Michigan, and it's pretty well known that, hell, just the fluoride they add to it's bad enough for you. But all the other stuff that's in there, especially, you know, there's known plumes of water contamination on the ground that affects entire communities. And I guarantee, you know, 90% of the people that live there don't even know. And the other 10%, like how many, maybe they move away. You know what I mean? So anyway, that's something interesting. Definitely. That's why I like Future Danger. Yeah. We talk a lot about geopolitics and economics on this show, but there's a lot of other stuff going on.
Yo, let me jump in there. In the whole site, when you hear Future Danger, you know, is branded as the website and the tool that you can go and look at, right? But it's also meant to be an idea of this isn't dangerous now. It's future danger. It's a combination new word. And when it becomes straight up danger, then you know it. You know, and you can see it coming. So I don't know. This is one of those calls when it comes to grading the heat map. You know, we got it at red. Could it get worse? Can fresh water be more befouled, right? And some of this, and I've spoken about in the past, some of these, if you're adherent to the Book of Apocalypse or Revelation and the Apocalypse, you know, these things were mentioned by John on Patmos of fresh water being befouled. Well, you have chemicals in there now, and it's 9 million Californians are subjected to them. This is happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And I personally give California a bunch of crap quite often, right, for the left coast, you know what I mean? But one thing even though a lot of the environmental agenda is, you know.
Well, you talked about it just a moment ago. It's a problem reaction.
Exactly. It is a real problem. I guess
the only
point.
Reason
California
that
does
state
call it
is,
out, at least.
That state's, you know, leading the front in measuring this sort of thing is because the reaction they're seeking
exactly.
is
yeah.
more state control, and
good point.
It's coming there fast.
Right.
The selling and manufacture and use of plastics in California is probably going to be leading the nation in restrictions.
So there's at least some small good thing that comes out of their total state, you know, oppression. All right. So, but I did know you wanted to cover this other article here. Oh, you wanted to talk a little Syria, huh?
Well, we're going to get back to Syria.
Okay.
How much time we got left?
We got like
about
three, four minutes.
Three, 4 minutes. Well, real quick, you know, why is there growth in the money supply, and why would the money supply jumping up be dangerous? Is there a race to cash? Real quick take on this article entitled Economists Puzzled by the Surge in the U.S. Money Supply. We don't have time to get into all the definitions. So if you don't know what M2 is and the total measurement of our economy of M2 money supply, you got to go look that up. But assuming you know that, Ben, what is there anything – is there any there, or is this one of those flashes of an indicator that might not lead anywhere?
Well, I don't know. I really have to research
it. Would it be connected to the repo market?
Well, it could be, absolutely. I think it's highly correlated. But – a lot of people expected, the way I think of it, I could be wrong, but my quick, 90-second analysis or whatever, with $3 or $4 trillion added to the Fed's balance sheet, plus mass amount of interest rate cuts, and that's just in the U.S., Bank of Japan, ECB, et cetera, have done just as much or more extreme things. You expected inflation to go crazy, and, inflation is essentially too much money chasing too few goods, which you could say money supply going up too quickly could lead to that. But it didn't materialize as much as they thought it would. In fact, there was essentially a deflation. Now that's a double-edged sword. We saw massive inflation in what the elite buy. So Ferraris and artwork and Manhattan apartments, massive inflation. But there's a lot of deflation going on in standard of living and real interest rates, et cetera. So it goes deep into it. I don't know. I haven't seen this article. I don't trust these numbers anyway sometimes. So,
well, that's a hot take. And if it persists next week, you'd be sure you heard it here first. Money supply is shooting up, and it's not entirely clear why everything's going to cash. Coming back, though, to the news in the Middle East, my question is, who in Central Command would have the responsibility to plan retaliatory strikes on NATO ally Turkey in northern Syria, which Syria and all of that is Central Command mapped out territory, where Turkey itself lies in European Command's zone as a NATO ally? Integrated used to be to a high extent, and it's right. Questionable right now, in those secret compartmental programs that I'm sure Turkey is not involved in the least. Well, when it comes to plans that, U.S. and Britain and France and Germany make together in Italy, right, the core allies of NATO. But, you got to believe that there's a cell in the planning staff in CENTCOM that if – Special Forces A team that was with Kurds were struck by artillery fire, and the president said there's going to be a reaction for this. I mean, this president wouldn't necessarily hold the Washington, D.C. consensus view of the sanctity of NATO like his predecessors, right? Because he's an outsider and is always frequently thinks completely outside of that line of national security reasoning. And it boggles the mind of a lot of them in the Pentagon and the State Department, obviously. But we have a real crisis of NATO on its eastern tier. And if U.S. forces were harmed in any way, it could spiral.
Well, I don't worry about it. It's high stakes. What good would retaliating do? Well, it might prevent them from taking another step to make things worse. So maybe it is good to slap them on the wrist before you got to punch them in the mouth.
So you do airstrikes on the country's military and simultaneously in Europe, you have military attachés with that country as a NATO ally?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we
have no higher level of alliance to any country than NATO. Like, it's Britain and the U.S. and Canada, and it's NATO.
Well, then, he would say that they broke it first. They attacked first.
But how do you...
Well, we'll talk about this in a second. We got to go to break. We will be back.
son might not understand what I've tried to be. And if I were to be killed in Willard, I would want someone to go to my home and tell my son everything. Everything I did, everything you saw. Because there's nothing that I detest more than the stench of lies. And if you understand me, Willard, you will do this for me.
Achieve situational awareness. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour. We are back. Live, October 17th, 2019. We've covered a lot already, but we're just getting started. I think it's time for the main event of episode 71. What do you say, Future Dan? You ready to roll out your new feature, your little live graphs?
Yeah, what we got here is, and you'll see it when you see the video. If you're watching the video, we're going to have this up. And it is the back end view, the administrator view, the view I use to set gauge charts, right? So it's simply a white area, and what that signifies is, and I got the cursor up, but you can also follow along in column three. They're live. A white area of the bar, that's the safe zone. Red area, start the indicator, the economic indicator that is completely measurable, is tracked in a little box, a bubble with a pointer arrow. So right now, gold is in the zone of danger, Ben. It is at $1,495 per ounce. That's how we measure it. So if you're watching along, gold soars is the indicator. The unit of measurement is dollars per ounce. Spot price on the New York Mercantile Exchange, NYMEX, Ben. And this is the inside baseball. This is how it works. The left point on the bar, right now we got it set at a low of zero. And the right, it's going to be the high, 1918, $1,918 per ounce, set August 11th, or in August of 2011. I don't have the exact date. All right? And we can modify these. If someone says, hey, wait a minute, your all-time high gold price is wrong, fair enough. I'll just change it right here. You're looking at the back end, okay? And I just click the update, how many decimals it shows, the unit of measurement, okay. All that stuff.
That's
cool. We also got London Interbank Offer.
LIBOR.
Offered rate. Talked about it many times on Patriot Power Hour. Sitting safely in the safe zone, 1.7926%, right? This one's set at 50%, gives you danger.
Okay.
So it's not always the same. Pretty much you got it set up for quarter percents and half percents. And the reason for that is for the ones that are set for 50%, the highs are so high past what would cause panic in the markets.
Yeah, right.
That 50% is more appropriate
for this particular indicator. That's what I like, is that you really customize it. And
same goes for.
I did help consult on this. Thank you very much.
Certainly did. Yeah, much appreciated. CBO volatility index, the VIX. You can buy this. It's an equity. You can trade it. Right. It's sitting safely at 13.79 tonight.
Yep. I think.
But that's hit the red zone.
I remember when it was hitting its high. It was going like 60, 70, 80, and then in the fall of 2008,
right.
Almost exactly 11. Actually, next episode. We're going to have our next episode on October 24th, 2019. But on October 24th, 2008, the VIX had an all-time high. That's pretty much when everyone thought there'd be tanks on the street, as I believe Hank Paulson said.
I'm not sure he exactly said that. But if you want
to... He said there wasn't bailouts. If they didn't do the bailouts, essentially, there'd be bank holidays and You know, yes, controlling riots on the streets.
The all-time high for this one was set October 24th, 2008. So there you go. That's when it happened.
So if we get even within close to half of that, it is massive. I don't even know if it's been half of that since then.
We're only a week away from the 11th anniversary. Yeah, all right, so 89.5 is the high I'm going with right now. Feedback's welcome if you know if it hit a little bit higher or lower, whatever. We want to be accurate with this stuff. But you can go to the heat map, and we're doing this on the video tonight, and hit the indicator fear gauge rises. You can jump down. We had severe in February of 18 with index at 29, topping 30, jumping to 50 once in February of 18.
Okay.
That's the highest it's been since Future Danger started. But that's an aside, showing you how to use the tool. You can jump to the archives and try to study some of this stuff, too, if you want to get smart quickly on it. But these are live gauges. And if you don't want to get too deeply involved in what it means, then be assured, if it's sitting in the white zone, these things are not measuring in the level that's historic or panicky. When it starts to get near red, which gold is.
Yeah, it's right on the edge, but it is.
It's into the, you know, the top 25% of its all-time high right now. So there you go. Gold soars, LIBOR spikes, fear gauge, the VIX rises. We got more. All right. TED spread rises. That's the unit of measurement is basis points. Okay. The right side in basis points is 457. That was set in October 10th of 08. So what? Exactly 2 weeks prior to the high in the fear gauge.
Just about when Lehman collapsed, I think. No, I think Lehman collapsed on September 15th. There was a couple months there.
I got
craziness.
I got that set at the standard 25% of record high. Source, Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. That's where we're getting.
Yeah, I was going to say, can you describe how you get this data? I know you don't input it every day by hand.
No,
how do you do it?
This is automated. We're scraping it off of the Federal Reserve site, and today it's
straight from the banks themselves.
Straight from right now, and it's 0.34, so well within the safe zone. Near the low.
Yeah.
Going back, gold we're getting from CNN.
Okay.
LIBOR we're getting from Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. Fear gauge we're pulling from Wall Street Journal right now.
Okay.
And these are adjustable. If one source fails us, if the gauge gets broken for a little bit, we're going to repair it with a source that we can pull off their website.
Okay.
Diesel price, that's coming from the Energy Information Administration, part of the Department of Energy. That's another gauge. It goes against the indicator diesel price peaks. And that's just linear from zero to its all-time high, $4.72 per gallon. Weekly average set. Hey, look at that. It's about 3 months before Lehman crashed.
Yeah.
Oil price peaks, that's measured in dollars per barrel, West Texas Intermediate, WTI, on the New York Mercantile Exchange, NYMEX. Its all-time high was $145.29. Set, was that 3 weeks prior to the diesel price peaking in 08? And that source is CNN for the oil price. Corn price. All right, again from CNN. That's dollar per bushel for the Chicago Board of Trade. $8.10 was the all-time high. That came about 4 years after the panic when food prices started to spike. Okay, two more that are live today. Gasoline price peaks. That's coming from AAA. 4.11 is the high, again, right during that oil crunch of the summer of 08. And finally, unemployment exploding. If it were to happen, we're measuring off of people filing new claims weekly straight out of, again, Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. The all-time high, according to their charge, 671,000 Americans. That was set September 82, the Reagan, trying to come out of the recession early in Reagan's first term. Again, both of these are set with the quarter red zone, you could call it. Most of them are quarter red zone right now, except for LIBOR and VIX.
Okay.
The blue sections, if you're watching along in the video, those are complex indicators. We're going to get into them next segment. But I'm going to jump over here. Next segment, we'll get into what is coming next.
Okay.
Tease it a little. They're not ready yet. They're more complex indicators.
Okay.
And now I'm jumping out, and we're taking a look at these indicators. How it operates is blue indicators are inactive. There is no headline. There is no news reported that would activate them.
Okay.
Nevertheless, gold always has a price, and gasoline always has a price. So you're going to be able to we've clustered indicators in column three that happen to be measurable. So they're always going to sort themselves in the inactive zone right underneath the active ones in column three. But the if an indicator activates, we're going to be able to carry that live gauge right into a green, yellow, red.
Okay.
None are active today, but they will be.
So really?
Be sure. And gasoline price, just inside baseball, gasoline price peaks. The reason that sorted to the top among the inactives, it was most recently active.
Okay. That's exactly what I was about to ask, actually. I was going to say, was it based off that, or was it based off who's closest to the red zone? But obviously it's not, because gold would be at the top. So.
And I hope this can help us become a more cognizant of where we're lying on these zones during Patriot Power Hour. But to harken back to last episode, the inaugural episode of Season 8, where we talked, reacted to the Bloomberg interview with the Yale Nobel Laureate economist, kind of going off against paranoid far-right activists who see conspiracy everywhere they look. Well, you can look at future danger, and most of these indicators, if they're sitting in the safe zone, you can pretty much rest assured that at least on the surface, where it ultimately has to surface, shit isn't hitting the fan yet.
That's exactly what I was going to say in a different way, but point well taken. If you look at all these, I think the only one that's in the red zone that we discussed, again, there's more to come, actually. The only one that's currently in it is gold per ounce, and that's barely in there. And my point is, if you look at this, there's no reason to panic right now. But if you start seeing one after another creeping in or even going far to the right over the next several months, that's a big indicator that someone might be going awry.
If two of them are touching red at the same time, that'll be breaking news on Patriot Power. We're going to discuss that. Because right now, when we inaugurated these things, they're not, except for gold.
Yep.
And, of course, it's arbitrary where I set the danger zone. But I wanted to premiere this tool, make it available to the public for free. Uh-huh. And if there's feedback on how it's measured, how it's calculated, we're going to be tweaking these as we go along. But we want something that I don't find anywhere on the internet in one place where you can access it.
Definitely not. And I like the fact that you're going to have articles associated with these as they're going off too. Because, if we start seeing gasoline creep up to $4+ a gallon, you're going to have articles on it. And with those articles, you'll be able to see in live time as these charts are going up. And like you said, we're not going to cover them right now, but there's a lot more indicators to come. And they're the really fun ones, in my opinion, a lot more complex, as you stated. So definitely do look forward to that. I think this is a really cool addition as you continue to improve upon future danger. Good job, my man. All right,
man,
folks.
Thank you for the help. Thank you for your help.
Absolutely. It's fun.
Figure some of this out. We can get into how you're helping us calculate some of the more far out ones right at the other side of this break.
Yeah, it's still a little bit of work in progress, but I'm looking forward to it for sure. So anyway, we got one more segment to come. Do stick with us. Very short break. I'm trying to make it short for you guys so we can pack as much info as we can into the Patriot Power Hour. We'll be right back.
West Coast. East Coast. Down here is Mexico. First wave of the attack came in disguised as commercial charter flights, same way they did in Afghanistan in 80. Only they were crack airborne outfits. Now they took these passes into Rockies.
So that's what hit Calumet?
I guess so. They coordinated with selective nuke strikes, and the missiles were a hell of a lot more accurate than we thought. They took out the silos here in the Dakotas, key points of communication.
Like what?
Oh, like Omaha, Washington, Kansas City.
Gone?
Yeah,
Christ.
That's right. Fill traders came up illegal from Mexico, Cubans mostly. They managed to infiltrate SAC bases in the Midwest, several down in Texas, and wreaked a hell of a lot of havoc, I'm here to tell you. They opened up the door down here, The whole Cuban and Nicaraguan armies come walking right through, roll right up here through the Great Plains.
How far did they get?
Cheyenne, across to Kansas. We held them at the Rockies and at the Mississippi. Anyway, the Russians reinforced with 60 divisions, sent three whole army groups across the Bering Strait into Alaska, cut the pipeline, came across Canada, to link up here in the middle, but we stopped their butt cold. Lines have pretty much stabilized now.
What about Europe?
I guess they figured twice in one century was enough. Just sitting this one out. I'll accept England. They won't last very long. The Russians need to take us in one piece, and that's why they're here now. That's why they won't use nukes anymore, and we won't either, not on our own soil. The whole damn thing's pretty conventional now. Who knows, maybe next week will be swords.
What started it?
I don't know, two toughest kids on the block, I guess. Sooner or later, they're gonna fight.
That's simple.
Maybe somebody just forgot what it was like.
Well, who is on our side?
600 million screaming Chinamen.
Well, last I heard, there were a billion screaming Chinamen.
There were.
You are listening live to the Patriot Power Hour, furnished by ready-made resources and fueled by FutureDanger.com.
Welcome back to episode 71 of the Patriot Power Hour on October 17th, 2019. This is your host, Future Danger. Future Dan, FutureDanger.com. I'm not Future Danger. I am Future Dan, FutureDanger.com.
I've called you that a couple times myself, so I thought it was pretty funny.
You did it. Jumping right back into the new live economic gauges. Wanted to touch on a couple that are kind of in the works then. And you've been greatly assisting in having to do the math behind the scenes so that we can actually get them to tell us something useful. So if you just think about it, what's the difference between the potentially increasing price of gold or oil and the stock market? The gauge doesn't work the same way. We don't really care how high the stock market goes because theoretically, in some scenario, probably not right now, higher is better, right? So we don't want to just plot what it's getting to its all-time high unless you can validate to me that that necessarily means it has to crash. It's not like the price of gold. The price of gold hitting all-time highs generally indicates a crisis of some sort, and oil, right? And VIX, right? The volatility index. But the stock market itself, that index, doesn't work that way. So we are working towards a live gauge that's going to measure the percent change from previous close. So now we're measuring when it's actually doing a crash, when it's going to be crashy, when there's panic in the marketplaces and we're seeing hundreds of points lost overnight or even into four digits, which would be getting a lot of news, right? If we had a 1,000-plus point crash in the stock market one day. So you'll see that as a gauge. It operates a little differently in the math behind it. We got to, get tight. Another thing I would like to share with our audience, the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis gives a number of decent little details about all kinds of things like the LIBOR, and it's just freely there as text on a web page that can be picked up and brought to this charting function we have. The Dow Jones Industrial Average close data seems to not be available publicly anywhere. So we're doing workarounds to capture the close after 4 p.m. of each trading session and then calculate the delta and get you that percent change. The bar graph, when it is set up, I'm thinking that a crash of 1% might get you halfway up the white zone, and 2%, we're going to have to look at the points because the points are what scare people, and it's inflated these days. Where they with the Dow Jones Industrial Average that tonight is above 27,000, you know, 300 points isn't as scary a drop as it once was when it was pre-Dow 20,000. So we're working now.
Exactly.
Another gauge that's in the works is the value of the dollar as measured by the DXY.
Yeah.
DXY is a basket of currencies that index the U.S. dollar against, I believe, seven other top currencies, the yen, the euro, the pound, et cetera, right? This one operates in the other direction. Lower is more dangerous. And we're having a tricky time with the grass right now, getting it to point opposite all the others, that when they rise, bad, bad, bad. But
yeah.
And this one, when it drops. So that
this one's even more unique. In a way, it's almost like you want a double-ended red stick. And I haven't even brought this up to you yet. But
I agree, and I've thought about it, but we wanted to keep it simple. But indeed, some of these, if gold was worth nothing, it would also be probably the end of the world. But the bar only works in one direction on some of these.
Definitely. So, you know, it depends. Are you importing cheap Chinese goods, or are you trying to sell cars to Europe? You know, you want a strong dollar or a cheap dollar, depending on that.
But it can fall off the low side, so it's devaluing at such a rate that it certainly would fall from being the reserve currency.
Exactly.
And it would be terrible news for our economy.
Yeah, and the indicator it goes with right now is dollar falls, right? So that's the whole point. So obviously, you want a single-ended stick in that regard.
Another indicator we're working on that's a little more complex is when the federal funds rate spikes. Where the federal funds rate is at any point in time is not necessarily like the stock market, good or bad. But rapid swings in it is problematic. We're working on scraping the data. That chart will go to the complex side when you see it as it'll have a title on the website as percent change. And right now the trouble we're facing is where do we measure from? Because how do you pick it up in a consistent – will we do it overnight? Will we do it weekly, monthly? It may depend on where we can just pull the data from.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that is important.
With some kind of spike there, obviously it's an indicator of future danger because it's been talked about among leading experts as types of things you see during layman-type moments.
Right, yeah.
And there's a few more in here that – we're going to debut a little more complex to grab the data and put it back out to our audience. I would like to take this opportunity also, when you see these inactive blue indicators in column 3, sorted below the Patriot Power Hour archive black block, each of these buttons, when they're inactive and only when they're inactive, punch the report button if we're missing something.
Oh,
you know
really?
Who's we don't.
That's cool.
Send us a news tip.
I didn't even know that.
throw a link in there. And send it to us. It's entirely anonymous. We don't keep any data. We don't track where it came from.
Okay.
I see an IP address, and I know the region, and that's it.
And if you really care about this stuff, you got a VPN anyway. So, you have a fake IP, obviously. That's awesome. I didn't know that people would report. But like you said, only when there's no news. And really interesting stuff here, man. I know we still got a little work to do on the complex ones, but the way it is set right now, I think it's very useful. And when we bring it all the way home, I personally will be using this as kind of a gauge. I already follow all these kind of independently, but being able to see it all in one glance, you know, every day, or even, you know, people maybe not follow stuff every day, but every week you go check it out. Oh, now there's two or three in the red and not just one or zero. That might mean something. Maybe you should pay a little more attention.
Absolutely. And I'm not seeing this available to anybody. And I know the preparedness community has varying levels of economic knowledge. I would like to think that if you just trusted that these things are measured against their all-time highs in zones, that makes sense. When some of these start hitting red, you should be very attuned to what's coming next, especially when the urge in Congress and the executive branch will be to grab power. Mm-hmm. It's inevitable.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. So, all right, good stuff. Well, only a couple minutes left. Were there any major articles or topics? I mean, to be honest, ironically, when we had this all planned, we didn't even – there's so much news, even though we had planned to go over all these indicators. What is something big?
Let's see what InfoWars dug up.
Show?
Yeah, let's see what InfoWars dug up. All right. A doctor approved claims that Recent advancements in brain chip technology could be due to quote, secret forced and illicit human experimentation by a consortium of transnational tech companies and governments operating outside the law. That's a 2016 paper, remarkably, from the Egyptian Journal of Internal Medicine. Take it for what you will. And you can read about how, you know, there's several locations on Earth where this is suspected as having happened. Neuroscientific human experimentation. And it comes in the forms of medical trials where in poor countries, third world countries, they pay people to come and be part of it.
And they ain't paying them like, you know, $500,000. Even that's like unethical and not allowed in the West. But I'm sure they're not paying them, you know, six figures or even five figures for this, to be honest, in U.S. dollars equivalent.
No, they're being brought into trials and getting paid
like $20 U.S. dollar
price. And having it done to them without their knowledge.
Who knows what the – yeah, and not like – the scientists probably don't even know the side effects of all of these people, so –
This is happening on the Earth, and there's no way to enforce it. Governments are participating in it.
Well, it's transnational, I think. Is that how they put it? That's the key. One of the keys right there. Multinational.
Yeah.
Several. They don't even have a nation, almost. You know what I mean? They're like above nation.
Well, they have a business entity in every country.
Yeah, they have a little LLC in Delaware and one in Ireland and blah, blah, blah. And it's all just garbage. They're able to bend the law as they see fit.
Well, yeah, that's one thing. If you want to argue tax codes and how they minimize their tax liability and all that, and how they launder money, those are all big discussions. But on the basis of, you know, exporting experimentation that you can't conduct in the West because it's absolutely forbidden, is grotesque.
Right. Well, you got some of the Chinese already doing. Hello. People that could say this is conspiracy, it's on InfoWars. So I absolutely believe it. I'm sure it's actually way worse than this. I'm not going to lie. It's still, I'm definitely against it, though. It's not worth, you know, the science we learn from it. So anyway, I think we had a pretty productive show. It's already over, unbelievably. We'll be back next week, though. Future Dan, you have a good weekend.
Yeah,
all right.
Good show, man.
Good stuff, absolutely. We'll be back October 24th, live, 8 p.m. Eastern, episode 72. Catch you later.
All righty. Front Point Partners. How can Standard & Poor's help you?
Well, we don't understand why the ratings agencies haven't downgraded subprime bonds since the underlying loans are clearly deteriorating.
Well, the delinquency rates do have people worried, but they're actually within our model.
So,
says you,
you're convinced the underlying mortgages in these bonds are solid loans?
That is our opinion,
Oh,
yes.
Crack the tape. Have you looked at the loan level data?
What do you think we do here?
You're giving these loans to anybody with a credit score and a pulse.
Excuse me, sir, what do you think we do here all day?
I'm not sure. That's why we're here.
Here's what I don't understand.
We check, we recheck.
If these mortgage bonds are so stable, if they are so solid,
check your friend.
Have you ever refused to rate?
That's delusional.
Georgia, have you ever refused to rate any of these bonds upper tranches AAA? Can we see the paperwork on those
deals? Oh, I'm under no obligation to share that information with you,
just
whoever
you
might
be. Just answer the question, Georgia. Can you name one time in the past year where you checked the tape and you didn't give the banks the AAA percentage they wanted?
If we don't give them the ratings, they'll go to Moody's, right down the block. If we don't work with them, they will go to our competitors. Not our fault, simply the way the world works.
Holy shit.
Yes, now you see.